Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening is Hebrews chapter 11, 17 to 19, which reads, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' He considered that God was able even to raise him from back from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." Let's take another look at Abraham's faith. This time we will focus on the latter part of his life. Last Wednesday we demonstrated that Abraham never received the three things he was promised. He was promised land, children as numerous as the stars of the sky, and a Savior who would come from his children's children. Yet Abraham did receive a portion of the promise, considered as a down payment and an engagement ring, a promise of a promise yet to be fulfilled. Not land, he even had to purchase land to bury his wife. Not children as numerous as the stars in the sky. And certainly no Savior from his generation. But he does have a start. He has a son, an only son, named Isaac, whom he loved. The name Isaac means laughter. Abraham and Sarah laughed at God's promise. So much for the faith of Abraham always getting things right. It seemed God had the last laugh. But it is important that you remember that the name Isaac, or you remember the name Isaac because God's promise specifically names him. In Genesis 17, God said, "Sarah, your wife, shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him," from Genesis 17:19. Okay, at least it's a start. A late start, a small beginning, but a step in the right direction. Isaac is a joy to his parents because he connects them to the promise. There is so much riding on him, and God then tests Abraham. This is no laughing matter. Take your son, your only son, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And Abraham does exactly as he is told. He acts not only according to the commandment of God, but also according to the promise. For God had said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." These two things work in tension in the life of Abraham for the next few days. He has a clear commandment from God. He also has a clear promise. The former will stay in the forefront. In fact, this event begins and ends with the commandment of God. It begins with the words, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Offer him as a burnt offering." And then it ends with the angel of the Lord recognizing the obedience of Abraham to the commandment. "Because you have done this, I will surely bless you." Genesis 22:16-18. Think of the commandment and Abraham's obedience to the commandment as bookends. Everything else is between these two things. Many people recognize that Abraham's obedience to the Lord was commendable. He is celebrated as a true man of God because he does what God commands. But notice the other thing working its way through this narrative. It is the promise of God. The promise was there long before the event. This narrative is like a sandwich. The two references to the commandment of God are the bread, but the meat of the story is the promise. Thus, the writer to the Hebrews tells us to imitate the faith of Abraham in the promise. Here is the promise God said, "Through Isaac your offspring shall be named." Genesis 21:12. Anyone who has read the book of Genesis has always rushed to this event of Abraham and Isaac, but many skip the event right before it, the event of Hagar and Ishmael. What happens here sorts out who is the heir of the promise. Isaac is specifically named. He is the one who comes from both Abraham and Sarah's body, who will fulfill what God has said. This is on Abraham's heart and mind as he enters into the land of Moriah with his son. He believes that Isaac will survive this ordeal because God has promised to fulfill his promise through Isaac, by name. And it is faith in the promise that propels Abraham onward and up the mountain to make the sacrifice to the Lord. The meat of the narrative are two strong statements of faith. The first one is in verse 5. Abraham says to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." Abraham is confident they will both return. The second statement of faith is in verse 8. The context is the haunting question of Isaac on their way up the mountain. "My father, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" His father answers in faith, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." Abraham acts in obedience and faith, but it is his faith that lifts his spirits. It is his faith that animates his steps onward and up the mountain. The commandment is hard and cruel. The test is terrible. "Take your son, your only son whom you love, offer him up as a sacrifice to me." But God has promised and cannot lie. God will not deceive me. So Abraham goes up the mountain confident that God will keep his word. This event has another significant meaning. It isn't just about Abraham who acts in faith according to God's promise, but it is also pointing us to the fulfillment of that promise in Christ. All of Judaism considers the first meaning of the story. So does Christianity. This is an example of the faith to be followed. But for the followers of Christ, this event is more. The land of Moriah is the place of Golgotha. The geography is the same for Jerusalem as it is for Calvary. This is where Jesus would suffer and die for our sins. Look at the map. The language is even similar. "Take your son, your only son whom you love." Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." John 3:16. Then, when John the Baptizer sees Jesus coming toward him, he says to his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John 1:29. God himself would provide the Lamb. Abraham was right in more than one way. The ram caught in the thicket, the male lamb that would be the substitute for Abraham's only son, is pointing us to Jesus, who would take the place for all sinners to be slain. Now, is Christianity making this up? Judaism would say it's all a coincidence. But Jesus saw himself in the event. In his testy argument with the Jews, Jesus says the amazing thing, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." Abraham saw the day of the Messiah on the mountain in the land of Moriah. He saw the ram caught in the thicket. He saw the substitutionary sacrifice that took place of his son, his only son that he loved. He saw Jesus as the angel of the Lord who repeated to him the most important part of the promise, "In your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." Most people read Abraham and hear the story of faith. We read the event of Abraham and also hear about Jesus, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. But Abraham has no understanding of these things. He may have seen the future that day, but he was far more concerned with the present. It is his only son being laid on the altar that day, the knife raised. Only at last did the angel of the Lord command him not to slay his son. Once again, Abraham had two things in mind, the dreadful commandment of God and the wonderful promise. The dreadful commandment of God was to offer up his only son. The wonderful promise was that through his son, not just any son, but through this son, Isaac, God would fulfill his promise. Abraham's faith runs with the promise. Abraham acts according to the contours of the commandment. He goes through the motions that have been outlined in God's clear word to him. But his heart is trusting in the promise all the way. He believes that God will fulfill his promise to him through Isaac. The writer to the Hebrews records he considered that God was able to raise him back from the dead, for which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. The commandment and the promise, the law and the gospel, they always live in tension in the life of a Christian. We hear the commandment of God and act accordingly. We see to live in a holy life, but we always live our lives in the promises of God, for we too see the contradiction. We cannot live according to the law of God. We cannot comply with the righteous requirements of God, not because we are unwilling, but ultimately we are unable. We are sinners by birth. We are sinners in our daily lives. The knowledge of this moral failure terrorizes us, for the commandment of God also includes the condemnation for those who disobey it. For the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, from Romans 6:23. Yet we believe the promise, the gift of God is eternal life. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. We trust God still receives us as his beloved children because the forgiveness of our sins. It is the gospel that motivates us to live according to the commandment of God. For you can never separate the commandment from the promise. For if we only hear the law, or if we hear only the gospel, we would lose something in our spiritual lives. Like Abraham, we live with them both at the very same time, and always relying upon the promise to sustain us. And such faith is commended by God. Such faith is counted as righteousness. Listen to this carefully. Abraham is counted as righteousness, not because he obeyed the call of God. For remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God, from Hebrews 11:6. No, Abraham is counted righteous because he believed the promise of God. It is the promise that sustained him in this difficult task. Abraham is commended for his faith, and we are called to imitate that faith. Therefore, may the promise of God also sustain you. We are looking forward to a city that has foundations whose designer and builder is God. We are looking forward to a day when God will keep all his promises to us, promises of life everlasting and a new heavens and a new earth, for God can and will not lie to us. He will not deceive us, but he will keep his word all according to his grace. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. In Jesus' name, amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to sermons preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.